Azura says that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once stated, "Do not assume that the party of the Sahaba, of the companions, only to be those who passed away in earlier times. Rather, there is another group, whom Allah the Exalted has mentioned in the Holy Quran. They are also included amongst the Sahaba, the companions, who will be with the Buruz, the reflection of Ahmad." Hazur says that one of the names of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is Ahmad. And his Buruz, reflection, is the promised Messiah on whom be peace. The promised Messiah continues, "Therefore, it is stated, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, and among others from among them who have not yet joined them." That is, do not assume that the Jamaat of the Sahaba or companions is limited to this. In fact, the Jamaat of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam will also be from amongst the Sahabi, the companions. In other words, those who saw in person the promised Messiah alayhi salam, who initiated at his hand and who took beneficence from being in his company. And then those who advanced in their faith and conviction. So, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, this Jamaat will also be of the Sahaba, of the companions. He says further, commentators have accepted that this verse is in relation to the Jamaat, the community of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The word minhum infers that their inner inclination and proclivity will be similar to that of the companions. Hazur says that therefore, those persons who took beneficence from personally being in the presence of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, most surely hold a status. Every single one of them is a model, an example for us, whose standard of piety, whose standard of taqwa, and whose standard of pious reformations are most certainly worthy of being followed. It is a great fortune upon us that some of the accounts of the lives of these companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace have reached us. Further, through these companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, the circumstances and the accounts of the gatherings in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam was present have also been related and reached us. I, from time to time, mention the different accounts of the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, I will similarly present such accounts. As a result of the tarbiyat, the moral training, that these companions received from the promised Messiah alayhi salam, as a result of that spiritual light that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had attained from his master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the seal of all prophets, Allah, the Exalted, infused such a revolution within the companions that every single one of them exuberated a unique and astonishing glory. Whether the companion was rich or poor, whether he was educated or illiterate, we see in every single one of them an extraordinary and unique change infusing within them. Whether it relates to tawakkul, the dependence and reliance of Allah, then that held its own unique glory. If it was the passion of faith of the companions, then it was selfless and also held its own unique and extraordinary glory. In relation to their link with the Holy Quran, they had a deep connection with it. They loved it and they held deep affection towards it. The fact that God Himself taught them the Holy Quran and bestowed spiritual knowledge into their hearts and minds, this illustrates their special connection with God Almighty. This was also a distinction they held. God's treatment towards them in every other matter was also of the kind that God grants to those who are very near to Him. Then we also find within these accounts the manner in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam taught the companions in these gatherings, how to solve different problems and resolve various issues. How to provide spontaneous and immediate responses to certain circumstances and predicaments. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, with just a few words provided such excellent tarbiyah or moral training to the companions through which they were able to compete with others with arguments and logic. Therefore, most fortunate were those companions who after 1400 years lived through that time in which this true and ardent devotee and servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. As I mentioned, I will present certain accounts today from the registered Ravayat, that is the register of traditions of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's companions. Hazrat Maulvi Sufi Ata Muhammad Sahib radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates. Once I read in the paper that the promised Messiah on whom be peace was going to visit Jhelum. However, I could not obtain leave to go to Jhelum. Hazur says, because he was at work. So he continues, but I was very restless due to this. I said to my family at home that tomorrow is Sunday and the promised Messiah alayhi salam has gone to Jhelum. So do not inform anyone and I shall set forth to go there. There was a very short time left before the train was to depart to Jhelum and the station was 3 miles away. The path was hilly and it was night. Even during the day, it was difficult for people to cross that path, but there was a commitment and a devotion, even at night. So he set forth. He says that, I put my trust in God Almighty and I went off. Coincidentally, there was a light that was lit right before me for the entire path as I was walking along to the station. Perhaps there was another person who may have been going off somewhere. So praying to God, I ran across that hilly path towards the station. Hazur says that when he states that there was a light that was lit before him, now there may have been a person through which that light was lit, but the fact is he put his trust in God. He was going to meet the Messiah and the Mahdi. Most certainly God provided that arrangement that the light kept being lit before him and he was unable to run that path to the station. So he says, when I arrived at the station, the train was ready to depart. I purchased a ticket and eventually I reached Jhelum. I was unable to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam. There was a Sayyid Ahmadine Sahib. He says that I will be delighted if today you recite that poem. Hazur says that he had written a poem at the time of his bet, his pledge of allegiance, and in that poem he had written some words of prayers and sent it to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, along with his letter of initiation. It was quite a lengthy poem. So Sayyid Sahib asked that please recite this poem. Sufi Sahib replied that if the promised Messiah alayhi salam permits, then I will do it. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam permitted him. He immediately stood up and with great fervor he recited that poem. That poem had such an impact upon the audience that somebody said, please provide that poem. He said, I have just verbally recited this by heart. After reciting the poem, the vazifa given by the promised Messiah alayhi salam was exactly the same as what he had sent in the letter previously. Hazur says, when he did the initiation and he wrote his letter of bet, his initiation, he asked the promised Messiah alayhi salam, give me a vazifa of repeated words of prayer. So the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, he wrote a vazifa and he says, when I asked him verbally now, he gave the exact same vazifa and I was astonished how excellent his memory was. That the vazifa that he had written to me that I should recite was the exact same vazifa he narrated to me now verbally. The vazifa that the promised Messiah on whom be peace provided at that time through a letter and also right here verbally was that, what are you asking for a vazifa? There is no need for any other vazifa. Recite Durood Sharif, invoking blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad with abundance. Recite Hamd Sharif, that is Surah Fatiha, and say Istighfar, that is beg for repentance, with great profusion, and read the Holy Quran with great reflection. This is the vazifa that is the secret of all successes. Hazur says, many people also write to me from time to time, and I also guide them in light of this instruction of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. Generally, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has also said to somebody that also recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil azim, that there is no power to avoid sin or to do good except through Allah. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that this should also be recited. So these are those matters that enable a person to draw near to God the Exalted. The next narration is of Hazrat Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib of Jammu. Hazrat says, this Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib was Jammuni. He should not be mistaken for Hazrat Khalifa Tomasi I, because he has the same name as him. This was a different companion of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He relates that, once I walked from Jammu to Kashmir via Gujarat. Along the way, when I was near to Gujarat, I offered my prayers in a jungle. And I was praying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni, this prayer, with great fervor and intensity. After this, God the Almighty provided for my means and provisions in such a way that I'd never faced difficulty, and despite the fact that I never had any particularly extraordinary work or job, I received thousands of rupees from unknown sources or from the unseen. Hazuru says, so, after these companions took to bear the Pledge of Allegiance, then, through the spiritual power of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, a revolutionary change occurred within them. Then they prayed, and when they prayed, God the Almighty responded to them in miraculous manners. So he prayed that I should never beg for money from anybody else, I should never have to face adversities or constraint in this light. So he prayed for this, and he said, with the grace of Almighty Allah, I never again face financial difficulty. Next, Mia Sharafat Ahmed Sahib writes about his late father, Hadrat Molvi Jalaluddin Sahib, and his circumstances. He relates that Molvi Sahib was one who put his trust in God Almighty. He would say that God the Almighty would provide for whatever we were in need of. It is an amazing trust in God the Exalted. There is no need for us to ask anyone else for anything. It has never happened that we asked others for any provisions, etc. So he relates that in around 1918 or 1919, the Anjuman employed me. And they gave me 20 to 25 rupees. Hazuru says, in other words, that the allowance that was set for him was 20 or 25 rupees from the Anjuman. So he continues that wheat, etc. had all become very expensive. At the time, Munshi Farzan Ali Khan Sahib, the Nazir Baitul Mal, was in Firozpur. My father was working under him. One day, Farzan Ali Khan Sahib said to Molvi Jalaluddin Sahib that you receive a wage. This is why you work with such devotion and diligence. This is why you work so hard. Molvi Sahib would say that I did not like this, and I replied to him, what did I ask you for a wage? I dedicated my life for the sake of the service of the faith. In terms of the allowance that I received, that has been said by the Jamaat. I did not ask for that allowance. I have no demand or requirements. And he said to the Nazir Baitul Mal that I will no longer take any allowance. Khan Sahib, the Nazir Baitul Mal, responded, that will you work in the same manner as before, or will you work in your own way? In other words, although you will not take a wage, but will you actually work in the same way as you worked before? So Molvi Jalaluddin Sahib said, I will work with even greater diligence and also with perfect obedience. As Guru says, that is, he said that I will work even harder than before and also with perfect obedience. He said that work and obedience have no correlation with pay. Whether I receive the wage or not, I must serve the faith. He relates that after saying these few words, I went on a tabligh expedition. I was going by foot. Hazuru said, at the time there were no modes of transport. Normally, the missionaries, when they went on tabligh expeditions, had to go on foot. So he continues that on the way, thoughts started creeping into my mind that the salary that I receive would fulfill my necessities somewhat. Nowadays, we are passing through difficult times. Wheat and other provisions are all very expensive. Now how would I make ends meet? These were the thoughts creeping into his mind. Hazuru says, now look. After these thoughts creeped into his mind, how did God treat him? So this person says that my father related that these thoughts were circling in my mind when suddenly a thunderous sound occurred. That is, a most frightening sound occurred through which my heart trembled. And what was that sound? It was a message that was sent through a powerful voice. Have you always received a wage? Is it through your wage that you have grown up? Azu says, in other words, such a long time has now passed. Have you spent your whole life and grown up only through your wage? He says that as soon as I heard this sound, all my anxieties and concerns completely vanished. In a most humble manner, I supplicated, O Lord, what need do I have of this wage? What significance does this wage have in comparison to you? He says, after this, my situation improved greatly in the future, and Allah the Almighty took care of me in such a manner that my circumstances improved most significantly. Maulvi Sahib would say that Khan Sahib was an old friend of mine. He said these words inadvertently as a joke. But after this became the means of breaking the shirk of the matter of the salary or the wage. Hazur says that therefore this became a means of removing the shirk associating partners with God from Maulvi Sahib's mind. Then, writing further about the circumstances of Hazrat Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib, his son, who I mentioned earlier, relates that in a dream, I see that Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, is gambling. So Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib mentioned this dream to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib. Maulvi Sahib, in other words, Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, Mulana Nuruddin Sahib, indeed gambles, but he gambles with God. Just like gamblers put every single thing they have on the line, he also does so. He does not leave anything for himself. Likewise, Maulvi Sahib puts everything on the line for God. Or in the way of God, he puts everything in the line. Hazur says, he said one of these two phrases. Hazur says that in other words, this is a bargain that Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, makes. Worldly people, for worldly benefits and gains, put things on the line in gambling. But regarding Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that to cater for his life in this world and the next, he spends in the way of God. Then, as we are all aware, there are countless accounts in the life of Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, in a manner that God the Almighty fulfill all his worldly needs and necessities and fulfill them beyond measure. Further, the rank and status he received in the religious field, everyone is aware of. Hadrat Sufi Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, son of Mia Wali Muhammad Sahib, relates that in 1912, I passed my BA exams from Punjab University. After this, I inquired from Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, should I memorize the Holy Quran or should I do an MA? Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I replied, memorize the Holy Quran, what is the importance of doing an MA? So he says that within 6 months, I memorized the Holy Quran. When I related this to Hadrat Khalif Tomasi I, he did a sajda shukr, a prostration of gratefulness. Hazur says, this was the tarbiyah, the moral training of the companions, this was their perfect obedience, this was their love for the Holy Quran, that he left aside the world. He first memorized the Holy Quran, then he turned towards further studies. Next, there is an account of Sayyid Akhtaruddin Ahmad Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He writes that remembering or mentioning the beloved is not lesser than actually meeting the beloved. The heart of the lover holds a deep passion to remember and mention the beloved one. Regarding the chosen one of the gracious and merciful Lord, the chief of all prophets, our beloved, our master, the holy prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. His Buruz-e-Kamil, perfect reflection, his Mazhar-e-Jamal, reflection of his beauty, his beloved one, his leader, and his prophet, reflected in the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. I could not envisage that somebody would have a great desire and passion to remember such a great person and would not be delighted through remembering him. But I was fearful that my memory was weakening, and a long time had passed since I had the honor of being in the blessed company of the promised Messiah, in whom be peace. In other words, from the end of 1902 until the end of 1903, for 1 year I was with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. But I was 24 then. In those days, my maternal uncle and I, the late Sayyid Ahmed Hussein Sahib, were the only two guests who had called upon the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. As we said, perhaps he had come from Cuttack. So he continues, for both of us, for many months, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had arranged for rice to eat, because that was a place where people were fond of rice. Perhaps it is Orissa. So therefore, rice was provided. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, provided strict instructions to Mia Najmuddin regarding the guests. The late Mia Najmuddin would relate to both of us himself that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had provided strict instructions regarding your hospitality. The same Sayyid Akhtaruddin Sahib relates, I was a student, and I would attend the Darsul Qurans, or the religious lectures on the Qur'an, by Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I would be greatly affectionate towards me. My father, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and my late mother, Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira, may Allah have mercy upon both my parents, as they looked after me in my childhood. So when they directed me to return home, then, when I said that due to the vast expenses of travel, it was difficult to return to Darul Aman Qadian, Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I said, when you are ready to return here, write to me, and I will send you the travel expenses. Azur said that when the parents said to return that I was about to depart, I said to Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I, that travel expenses are quite high, therefore it would be difficult to return home to Qadian. So Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I then says, when you are ready to return, I will send you the travel expenses. So the narrator says, when the time drew near for me to return, at the time in the small Masjid Mubarak, the prayers would be offered on the roof. Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, from behind on one side, put his hand on my shoulders, and affectionately he stated that Akhtaruddin, I have heard that you have learned the Holy Quran from many teachers and you read it with great abundance. Because he said that in those days I would study the Holy Quran from many teachers. So Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I continues that I have heard you read it most profusely. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. This is what Hazur says, Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I. That adopt God's taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of God, then God will teach you himself. Hazur says, this is a fundamental point to discern and understand the Holy Quran. The companions had a great fervor to comprehend and study the Holy Quran. Therefore, this companion would study the Holy Quran from Hadrat Khalif Tumasi I by attending his dars. Further, he would learn from other teachers in order for his learning to increase. Subsequently, Allah the Almighty teaches a righteous person the Holy Quran himself and guides him. This is what we observe in the lives of the companions. MashaAllah, they had great knowledge of the Holy Quran. There is a narration of Hadrat Khairuddin Sahib, son of Mustaqim Sahib. He took the Pledge of Allegiance in 1906, and in the same year, he met the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He relates that one day, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stayed sitting after the Maghrib prayer. Incidentally, on that day there was no light within the mosque. There were a few people surrounding the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, amongst whom was also me. One person asked a question to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that Hazur, Maulvis, that is, non-Ahmadi religious clerics, that the Messiah of Nazareth, that is, Jesus, peace be upon him, would create animals. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, responded that Sheikh Sahib, God is the creator. Is the Messiah also the creator? Hazur says he only said this one sentence. So the narrator relates that I was not aware who that Sheikh Sahib was who asked the question because it was dark, but that Sheikh Sahib did not speak again. the promised Messiah on whom be peace said himself again that our religious clerics should use these very brief and concise sentences in their discussions and debates. Azur says that they would say that the Messiah, Jesus peace be upon him, would create birds and he would produce animals. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam responded that this is very strange, that God is the creator, because the creator is an attribute of God, and the Messiah is apparently also a creator. As a Muslim, you are also being involved in this shirk, associating partners with God. So the promised Messiah on whom be peace says sometimes these very small and concise sentences work better in tabliq, because in lengthy discussions, often the subject matter becomes confused. The narrator relates, that is Hadrat Khairuddin Sahib, that I returned to my village. I had keen enthusiasm for reading the Holy Quran. One day, the promised Messiah on whom be peace informed me in a dream. Hazur said, he was extremely enthusiastic to read the Holy Quran. He saw a dream one day in which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, come to Qadian, we will teach you the Holy Quran ourselves. So this is a dream that he saw. He saw the dream at a time when the promised Messiah on whom be peace had passed away already. He relates that after this I saw another dream. In the dream, I have migrated to the place where the Mahalla Nasrabad is now formed. Azur says, that is, he migrated to Qadian, and in Qadian, he alights in the Mahalla Nasrabad. So he continues that in the open field, I am unloading my luggage, and I inquire that what is the name of this area. Upon this, a voice resonates from the heavens in the shape of a countenance, which was solid. It looked like a football. A voice resonated from that the name of this place is Ibrahimi Jungle, where you are unloading your luggage. So therefore, Allah the Almighty had informed me that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's name, was also Ibrahim. At the time, I was unaware of the verse of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that I have the reflection of Adam, of Moses, of Jacob, and further of the countless progeny of Ibrahim. So he says that through this resonating voice, God Almighty gave me this message. It was then that I learned that this was also the name of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Hazur says, sometimes the support of the statements and revelations of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was through the companions, and Allah the Almighty would display this through the dreams. Khairuddin Sahib continues further, that I do not say out of humility, but I say as a matter of fact that I was a sinner. What I am about to relate is most certainly and most surely as a result of the light of prophethood rather than out of my own endeavors, because it is the promised Messiah on whom be peace who said that I am that light of God through which the truth is manifested. So this is a certainty that the person who forms a connection with that light will also partake of that light. Indeed, this is also absolutely evident that a person acquires that light according to his capabilities and capacities. We were not even aware, that is Maulvi Sahib, Hazrat Khairuddin Sahib narrates that we were not even aware what a revelation was, what a vision was, or what a true dream was. But with the grace of Almighty Allah, by joining this chosen one sent by God the Exalted, by connecting with this chosen one from God the Almighty, not only are we aware of what revelation is, not only are we aware of what visions are, not only have we learned of what true dreams are, in fact, we have seen all of these three implemented upon us in our lives. Hazur says, this was a revolution that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, infused amongst them. It is said about Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, may Allah be pleased with him. We have heard this account many times, that once somebody asked Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, you were previously already a saint and a holy person. What did you attain by coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam? So Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, said, amongst many benefits, I shall tell you one. Previously, I would see the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in dreams. Now, I see the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with my eyes open through vision. So this is the revolution that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, infused within me. Hazrat Khairuddin Sahib says, for the certainty of faith, we can now relate the reality of these things. For example, within Masjid Mubarak, perhaps it was the time of Zuhr prayer, I received this revelation. Ula ikahumul muflihun. It is they who shall prosper. In this, I was informed that it is the people of this Jamaat or community who will prosper and gain success. Therefore, we observe that the people who appear to be insignificant, their end is a good one. And great work is being carried out by them, and there is a special impact found with their prayers. Once I pray that, O Allah, what is the best manner of attaining nearness to you? Hazur says, look, what a great desire they had. They had a relationship with God the Almighty. In order to enhance that connection with God, what means did they try to devise? They would pray to God the Almighty. That what is the best manner of attaining nearness to you? So he says that Allah replied to me that there are two means of attaining nearness to me. Either give chanda, that is alms, or carry out tabligh, that is preaching. So he says, this is the response I received, that God said that I like these two ways. So then he supplicated that, O Allah, I am not that well educated. Azur says he is here sitting and conversing with God. So he said that I am not that well educated, how will I carry out tabligh, that is preaching? Then Allah replied and said, that we have already taught you the Holy Quran. He says, when God the Exalted said these words, it clarified the verse of the Holy Quran for me. That وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That at that time, this verse was clarified to me, that it is actually Allah's hand that throws. Hazru says that it is said regarding the Holy Prophet ﷺ in the Battle of Badr, that the reason for that storm that appeared was actually Allah the Exalted. So he said that this verse was clarified to me because when I was in my village, then the promised Messiah alayhi salam met me in a dream. Hazrat said this was mentioned earlier. So he says that then the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, come to Qadian, we will teach you the Holy Quran. Now observe, the promise was made by the promised Messiah alayhi salam, but the response was given by God the Exalted, that we have taught you the Holy Quran. Therefore now, according to my capabilities and capacities, with the grace of Almighty Allah, whoever desires to learn the Holy Quran, I can teach him. Nowadays, in the guest house in the morning for an hour or an hour and a half, I teach the Holy Quran with translation. When God the Exalted stated that we have taught you the Holy Quran, he said alongside it, have you not read the accounts of Ad and Samud in the Holy Quran? I read one ruku and related it to the people, that what the outcome is of those who reject and disobey the prophets. Similarly, regarding their prayer, God the Exalted stated, eat ghee in abundance, that is, clarified semi-fluid butter. So he said, what does it mean to eat ghee? So God the Exalted, on the third day, replied, eating ghee means to pray most profusely. These words were given in Punjabi language, that in the house where prayer is offered, that home always remained in enjoyment. Then I also heard the following voice, that a person who God does not speak to is not a Muslim. Hazur says, therefore, if we want to taste enjoyment, we need to fill our houses with prayer. So he says, can a person like me claim that this occurred through my capacity and my capabilities? It is absolutely evident this occurred through the light of prophethood. I should repeat this verse of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I am that water that came from the heavens at the appointed time. I am that light from God through which God the Exalted was manifested. Next, there is Hadrat Hafiz Nabi Bakhsh Sahib, son of Karim Bakhsh Sahib, from Faizullah Chak. He met the promised Messiah on whom be peace before the promised Messiah on whom be peace had made his claim. And he also took the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, at the very beginning. Hakim Fazlur Rahman Sahib, a missionary in Africa, who is Hafiz Bakhsh Sahib's son, he writes the following. That he had ardent love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, within him. And he was so careful that whenever anybody asked him to relate something from the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would always reply, that I do not trust my memory. May it not occur that I attribute something mistakenly to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He worked in the Department of Waterways. And for almost the entire year, he would have to travel around. To the degree that in the months of extreme heat, May, June, etc., he would have to walk around for his work. He faced extreme exhaustion as a person would normally feel in these circumstances. Yet, at night, without fail, he would wake up to offer the tahajjud prayers, and he would stress to us to wake up, that is, to his children. During Ramadan, despite the intense heat, he would regularly keep fast. During winter, he would wake up for tahajjud prayers and recite the prayer out loud so that his children could join with him. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was a hafiz, one who memorizes the whole Quran. He would place great emphasis on us upon prayers and fasting and supervise us strictly in this regard, and this is a duty of parents. He would be extremely enraged upon any slackness on our part. He taught us the Holy Quran himself. If he was engaged in his work during the day, then he would teach us at night. We were three brothers. The eldest amongst us was Abdurrahman, radiallahu anh, may Allah be pleased with him. He went to attain education in Qadian. Perhaps in 1907, during this time, he passed away. Habibur Rahman Sahib, BA, and myself, when he was 12 or 13 years old, Hafiz Noor Ahmed Sahib, and also Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib, with them. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was writing Barahini Ahmadiyyat, we met the promised Messiah alayhi salam for the first time, and then we regularly came before him, and we took to bear the pledge of allegiance very early. Because Hafiz Sahib, that is the father of Fazlur Rahman Sahib, the narrator, says that he kept asking to take the pledge of allegiance before the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. I do not remember the actual year of the bayt and the meeting after, but when we came for the first time, we stayed with him. So he, that is Fazlur Rahman Sahib, the narrator, says that my father, the companion, arranged for my education in Qadian. During the time of griefs and sorrow, he displayed the loftiest model of being content with the decree and pleasure of God the Almighty. So this, Hakim Sahib says, when our elder brother passed away in 1907, our two elder sisters' weddings were just a few days away. For this purpose, we had departed from the place of my father's work and gone to Faizalat Jaq. One of the wedding processions of my sisters had come from the district Jalandhar. When there were 3 days left for the wedding procession of the groom to come, then Abdurrahman Sahib, his brother, passed away due to some ailment of the liver. After this, we received a cable from Rahul. In light of this demise, the groom's family desired that the wedding dates were delayed, that is, the groom's family said that why don't we delay the wedding dates. That is, they offered this delay themselves, but the father, that is, Hakim Sahib's father, said that this demise was a decree of God the Exalted. It has now come to pass. Please bring your wedding procession so that this girl can go off after marriage. So 3 days after the death of his beloved child, two of his daughters were married off. This was a stern examination for any righteous person. So he writes that during the first and second Khilafat, with the grace of Almighty Allah, he never faced any trials and tribulations, and neither did he ever hesitate from taking the pledge of allegiance of both the Khulafa. He displayed such a lofty model in obeying the Khulafa. I have come twice to West Africa for tabligh, for preaching, Hazur says. Hazrat Hakim Fazlur Rahman Sahib was a missionary in Africa for a long period of time. So he says, when I stayed in Africa for the first time for 8 years, and now, also 7 years have passed, despite passing through different circumstances and predicaments, where from a worldly perspective, I could have supported my father greatly, he always advised me in the following way, that I should never display any patience. Until Hazrat Khalifatul Masih instructs you to return, or when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih instructs you to return, then only you should return, that do not say anything otherwise. Do not make any demand or requirements. So during his employment, he would buy all the newspapers of the Jamaat, and he would give his chanda regularly. He helped poor people greatly. His hospitality was of the highest levels. He had done his vasiyat, and he would give his hissa amid during his time of work. He has some land in Faizalat Jaq. which he has included in his visit, in the name of the Anjuman he has put his land. His paternal great-grandson. In other words, the great-grandson of this companion I am referring to, Azizam Omer, son of Malik Abdurrahim Sahib, on 28th May in Model Town, also attained the status of martyrdom by God the Exalted. He also left behind two very young children. May God the Exalted be their protector and helper. All the martyrs, the young martyrs, we should pray for their children, for their wives, for their families, and also for their parents. That may God the Exalted be the protector and helper of all of them and give them forbearance and patience. And may God the Almighty facilitate the marriages of the young widows. There is Hadrat Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, son of Mia Sirajuddin Sahib. He took to bear the Pledge of Allegiance in 1900, and he saw or met the promised Messiah on whom be peace in 1904. He writes that the promised Messiah alayhi salam affectionately would give more opportunities or space to children. The children would play in his lap. The countenance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was filled with light upon light. From childhood, we were aware that the promised Messiah alayhi salam loved us more than our parents. Whenever the promised Messiah alayhi salam would come to Lahore, he would bless us by coming into our modest home. Once the promised Messiah alayhi salam went out, he would go in a closed carriage. When it was time for him to return, then all the elders of my family, the late Mia Sirajuddin Sahib, Mia Mirajuddin Sahib, his uncle, and then Mia Tajuddin Sahib, and also other members of the family were all waiting for the arrival of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In front of our house was a government park. On the road adjacent to our house, a great number of vagabonds had assembled. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, returned, then he went into his house through the stairs, so the vagabonds started throwing stones upon the house. My late father and also my uncle Day counseled amongst each other what they should do. So then the servant who had been assigned to me by my father said to the servant that take this child away, referring to me. So the servant took him. Then with great courageousness they confronted that crowd. After confronting them, the crowd dispersed. The promised Messiah on whom be peace then said, let them go. He writes that once I was with my father, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was staying at the house. There was a pen and paper there, and he would write something, and my father asked for him to name the daughter. And the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, Amina Begum. Then there is an account for him that whenever I was with my father in Qadian, being a childhood and having childhood habits, I would go into the clinic of Hadrat Khalif Damsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, where he would provide his service. So Hadrat Khalif Damsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, would take me in his lap and show me great affection. He would often recite the Holy Quran before the children. Azhar says, that is, Hadrat Khalif Damsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, would take children in his lap when there was no patient to come see him, and he would recite the Holy Quran to them and teach them. So he said, when I got up from there and went into Masjid Mubarak, there I had the opportunity to meet or see the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would seat me beside him and ask me some questions. In those days, just a few guests would light up the atmosphere of Masjid Mubarak. Qadian was just a small town. We never expected that the promised Messiah alayhi salam's revelation would come true in this way. My late father was greatly affectionate towards the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He was an old servant. My late father would say that Hadrat Khalif Damsi Sani, the second Khalifa, his arrival, the time of the help and support, he would say that we have witnessed this, Hazur says. He had mentioned this before, that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they believed in him, that he had revelations due to belief in them. He would say these would come true, and he said we have also witnessed these come true. Therefore, these were the Sahaba, the companions, who after coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, inculcated pious reformations within themselves and established a connection with God the Exalted. And in their belief in the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, they were so firm that nobody could shake that faith that they had. Their sense of honor for faith refreshed the memories of the Quruni Ula, the earliest companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They firmly adhered to the following words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and acquired comprehension and discernment of it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "When God has established this community and has demonstrated hundreds of signs in his corroboration, from this God's objective is that this community becomes a community of the Sahaba, the companions. And then the best aid returns. Those who enter this jamaat enter the category of wa'agharina minhum, among others from among them. Therefore, they should forsake the apparels of false pastimes and turn all their attention towards God." Hazrat says, the Sahaba, the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, as I mentioned, they fulfilled this desire and teaching of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. May Allah the Exalted also enable all of us to do so, that we are able to inculcate pious reformations within ourselves and then maintain and stay firm on them. Inshallah, from day after tomorrow, in fact from tomorrow night, the new year is starting. May Allah the Exalted make this new year even more blessed for our Jamaat or our community. May God the Exalted restrain the hand of our enemies. May He provide the means for them to be able to recognize the truth. May God the Almighty, on a personal level and also as a Jamaat or community, continuously bestow immense blessings. Ameen. After the Friday prayer, I will lead one funeral prayer. This is a Mukarram Jamaluddin Sahib, who was the auditor of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya Pakistan. Mukarram Jamaluddin Sahib was born on 15 December 1938 in Qadian. He was a born Ahmadi. At the age of 18, his services to the Jamaat commenced. On 27 December 2011, at the age of 73, he passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was a Musi. He has been buried in Beheshti Maqbara Rabbah. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was unable to serve the Jamaat for 55 years. At different times, he was unable to serve in different departments. For example, the property department, the Vasiyat department, Darul Ziyafat, the private secretary's office, the Zarat service to the Darveshan. Then he also worked as the auditor of the Sadr Anjuman in July 2003. Until his demise, he was engrossed in this service. From April 2008 to June 2009, he worked as Acting Officer, Muhasib and Provident Fund. He was a very quiet person who led a simple life. He was extremely sincere. He was also very compassionate towards his workers. He met every single person with compassion and love. He always treated his wives, children and close relatives with great affection and love, and also in a pious manner. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was extremely brave and fearless. He was regular in his fasting and prayer. He was also regular in his tahajjud prayers. He had a great love for Khilafat. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he was extremely active in his work and he never displayed any slackness. He always gave precedence to his Jamaat work over his worldly endeavors. He always worked with the true spirit of a life devotee and he worked with great humility. Whoever his officers were, he always displayed perfect obedience to them. May God the Exalted elevate the rank of him, and may Allah the Almighty display forgiveness and mercy to him. May also Allah the Almighty give forbearance and patience to his children. His wife had already passed away. May Allah the Exalted enable his righteous deeds to be continued by his children.